Before Yontif, we began a little bit of an introduction to some of the sugars of Kilim and Ramine, because we bumped into the famous machlokes between Rabbi Chunya ben Akona and the Rabbanon as to what kind of an oynesh has the ability to exempt the chiyuv mamon. So the way we pass in the halacha, it's only an oynesh videodom, like a chayv and Mrs. Beisdin has the ability to be both there. Malchus we'll get to a little bit later on, but the chayv and Mrs. Beisdin, that's the original din of Kilim and Ramine. And Rabbi Chunya ben Akona had a tremendous chiddush. He extended the din of Kilim Ramine not just to Chayv and Mises Beis Din, but even to Chayv and Mises potential with the Shemayim, maybe the Kares, maybe to Mises Shemayim itself. That was a Machlokes Shemayim Rav, a whole Shtickel Torah that we spoke about a little bit before Yom Tov. So the Gemara in the Flamin of the Beis is now trying to illustrate a scenario, trying to find a case. That seems to be the theme of that you have a run trying to do in the beginning of the third breath of Ksuba, trying to find a case, trying to create a scenario where Kilim Ramine is going to really, really play out in within the world of Rabbi Chunya ben Akona, and we're looking for a very, very unique case. We're looking for a case of Dafka of Misa B'dei Shemayim. Why are we picking Dafka of Misa B'dei Shemayim? Because, as we elaborated about before, Yom Tov, there's Machlekes Abaye and Rava, Liba the Rabbi Chunya ben Akona, the sheet that we don't paskin like. What would the din be of Misa B'dei Shemayim? If Misa B'dei Shemayim qualifies enough of an Oynesh to Pater from Chiv Mamon or not? So that's where the Gemara is going to head us in that direction right now. So as we saw earlier on, when we learned the early sugyas in El Naris, we spent 3 weeks on analyzing all the lomdos of Ashita, of Rabbi Shimon Menashe, Shimon Aktiv, Ashita, that weren't Lamaisa accepted, Halach Lamaisa, but Apa Bichain, through the prism of those Shitas, we had so many Torahs, so many Shurim, so many things to talk about. We even spoke with Rabbi Yeshiva, right, as we made Ha'ara of the sugyas, that Rabbi Yeshiva's name came to us to life in the Saharuge Malchus Piyot on Yom Kippur, so we can at least feel close to Rabbi Yeshiva. But Shitas that we don't fasken like, and Afa Pichain, the Gemara was able to build a Zat Teira, a Zat Pufo, a Zat Chidush Teira, within understanding of those Shitas. So the Gemara has a very, very similar approach here also. We're working now within Rabbi Chunya ben Akona's Shita. The Kibbutz of Dramani extends out of the realm of Chayvei Mises Beis Din into the realm of Chayvei Einshei Shemayim. And we're trying to highlight a case that's Davka Misa B'dei Shemayim and Davka not Kari. So finally, the Gemara dug up a case. What was the case? Who remembers what's the case? Zar Shachal Truma. That's it. You have a guy steals Truma, non-Kohen steals Truma, and he eats the Truma. So we know that he's Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim eating Truma. That's a possible Chumash. Zar eats Truma, he's Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim. And we know there should be some kind of a Chiyuv here for Gezela. He stole the truma also, so some kind of a gezela / mazik type of halacha, some kind of a dini mamonis. And the Gemara wants to know: would we say kibbutz of Ramadan or not? So that's the case. We discovered America, zar shachal truma. Yeah, and we spoke a little bit about this before Yom Tov. Zar shachal truma. So the Gemara says that if you hold the misa de shemayim patas mamon, that's also included in kibbutz of Ramadan, then this will qualify as a kibbutz of Ramadan. If you deny that, then it won't. Adkan, the scenario of the Gemara. So comes the Gemara now with that background in the Flamin of Ibeis, and it's bothered with the following problem. So the Gemara says that Ikbina Zay Shachal Truma Lebai Potl Rabbachayev. Frak the Gemara Lebai Potter. Can anybody ever say that Zay Shachal Truma is going to be subject to the rules of Kilim Ramine? Can anybody say such a thing? Can be. It's impossible. Hamar Rav Chizda Meidir Rabbi Chunya Ben Akona. Comes the Gemara and says, let's talk about a simple Rabbi Chunya ben Akona case, not the complicated scenario of Misa B'dei Shemayim. Simple kares, you eat chaylev. Eating chaylev is a Misa kares, everyone's masking. I steal somebody's chaylev, and I go ahead and I eat it. Would you invoke Kilim B'Ramadei or not? It sounds like, yeah, it's kares, it's mamon. Sounds like it's a prime candidate for Kilim B'Ramadei. Comes of Chizda and tells us this is nisht kibbutz of Ramine. You can't apply kibbutz of Ramine. Why? Because it's not at the same time. The chiyuv of mamon kicks in at what point? When does the chiyuv of mamon kick in? When? At the moment that I pick up the chaylev to steal it, I'll call the ganav. At that moment, I become chayv in mamon. That's at 10:03. And I don't end up eating it until 10:05. So since the Chiyuv Mamon preceded the Chiyuv Misa, Kilim Ramine doesn't apply. That's Klal Gov, that's Chayk V'Leyava, that statement I just said, that's of Chizda's famous Klal of Goyin and Chalva Shel Chaveiro. So since Goyin and Chalva Shel Chaveiro teaches me that whenever Mamon precedes Misa, the Kimle just doesn't apply, We just lost the case of Zayas Shachal Truma. We spent so much time, we spent 10 minutes giving an introduction to find a case of Kibbutz Bidraminei, a test case by Nisim B'nei Shemayim. Zayas Shachal Truma, it's not going to qualify on pure technical grounds, because just like the guy became the Chayev in the Geneva for the Chela before the Chiyav Misa kicked in, who did not, he became Chayev for the Geneva Satruma before the Chiyav Misa kicked in. That's the Gemara's bomb kasha. So I'll tell you the truth, if I was an Amorah, you know what I would have said? All right, bad case, forget about it. Let's go to the next figure. So we can't find the case. No, life will go on. We can't find the case. It's only Rabbi Chulim ben Akkad anyway. It's only a Bayan Rav according to Shita Jerome Pasuk anyway. Why bother? As we pointed out, what is the Gemara? What's the word? Relentless. The Gemara will not give up. The Gemara says, no, I'm gonna have my case. You think you destroyed my case? No. I'm going to share a case of Zayas Shachal Truma, which is not going to become subject to the Mammon pre-Misa. I'm going to save it. How am I going to do it? Unbelievable. What made the Chi of Mammon kick in first in the case of Gona Chavosh Chaver? What was the key word? Kanyo, but the fact that you picked it up, right? So isn't it obvious if you're eating Truma, you must have picked up the Truma first? Not necessarily. Most of the time when you eat food, I drink this cup of water, I pick it up first. That's at 1:30 and 27 seconds, I picked it up. I drank it at 32 seconds. So there was a break. The Chi of Mammon kicked in first. But what if, instead of me picking up the Truma, somebody pushed the Truma down my throat? My hands are tied behind my back. Somebody shoves the Truma into my mouth. Right? My throat, yeah. Somebody shoves the Truma into my mouth. So then, I'm back in business. Then I have a case. Because I'm no longer subject to the problem, to this objection of the mammon preceding the misa. There was no geneva, there was no hagbah. Gevalik keteret, right? So that's what the Gemara says. So let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hachav ma'eski, even kosher, tochav lechaver l'sech piv. The guy stuck it into my mouth. So it sounds like we solved the world's problems. So then the Gemara gets into very, very gory details. And the Gemara says, really? Does that really solve the world's problems? Maybe the chi of Misa is for the achilas at truma, which is only at the time when I actually swallow the truma. Whereas once the truma is in my mouth, maybe I'm considered to be a galav at that point, and it's a little bit earlier, it's just a second before the actual Misa. So the Gemara gets into some upper, digestive tract issues as to exactly how to time, how far and wide, and what exactly happened with this truma. We're going to leave out the gory details for a little bit later on in the sugya. But the thrust of the answer of the Gemara was such that we're going to create a scenario where the Zayas Shachal Truma is chayav, there's a chayav mammon that's kicking in, and there's a chayav misa bidei shemayim that's kicking in, and the two chayuvim are simultaneous. Because again, what we're doing is we're avoiding, we don't want to call it a gonev, we don't want there should be a hagbah. That's a bad word for the sugya. It's going to become a great word later, sugya, but it's a bad word for the sugya. We don't want there to be hagbos haturuma, because if the ochelos haturuma is magbia, the truma becomes a ganav, and then that kills the opportunity for it to apply kibbutz bidraminei. So we're walking a tightrope, Rabbi Yisai, as we always do in Maseches Ksubis. We're walking a tightrope. We want there to be chi of misa, which we got. We got that for the achila. And we want there to be a chi of mammon, so we can apply kibbutz bidraminei. But what we don't want is what? What do we not want, Rabbi Yisai? We don't want what? We don't want hagbah. We don't want a genevus atruma. That's the last thing we want, is a genevus atruma, because that's going to kill the opportunity to apply kibbutz bidraminei. That is the structure of the group. So Rabbi Yisai, what did the Gemara just do? By creating this cuckoo crazy scenario of somebody sticking a piece of truma down somebody else's throat to avoid the hagbah dimension, what did we just do, Rabbi Yisai? What was the Gemara just guilty of right away? Overkill. What's the overkill? What's the overkill, Rabbi Yisai? Why am I chayiv altogether? If I didn't do Agva, I'm nishkin ganav. I'll be nothing. Why am I chayiv for? You're trying to create a case of kibbutz bidraminei where there is a chi of misa and a chi of mammon, and the chi of misa is, no pun intended, but this is a good one, swallowing up the chi of mammon. Okay, good. Okay. Wasn't planned. The chi of misa is going to overtake the chi of mammon. That's the whole goal of the sugya. By making the case, by giving an okimta that Reuben shoved something down Shimon's throat, what you just did is you were just mafkia the chi of mammon from Shimon altogether. He's dashed the ganav. Nishkin Gad, Nishkin Magbiya, why is he Chayfer altogether? Why did he keep the Draminate? It's partly because it was never Chiv in the first place. That's the bomb kasha that every Rishon has to address. When you read the Gemara in Ksubas, that should have been the first thing, the first bell, first alarm bell to go off in your mind. So who's the first person to address that issue? Rashi addressed that issue. Rashi was sensitive to that issue, and therefore Rashi adds a whole new dimension to the sugya, words that don't appear in the Gemara Bechlav. Rashi says, Shetachav l'chaveiroi, d'lo agbah, v'lo kanya, v'lo mechai b'tashlumin. So far, overkill. Ela bibli osoi mischayev d'mei hanoyas meyav. What did Rashi just say? Rashi just invoked a new principle we never heard of in Maseches Ksuvos. And if you never learned Bava Kamma, you probably never heard of it ever. Rashi just said, you're not a Mazik, you're not a Gazlan, you're not a Magbia, and you still have to pay Momon. Why you have to pay Momon? Tachlis, you had a good meal. Tachlis, it tasted good. Tachlis, weren't you nana greatly by having somebody shove that grape down your throat? Wasn't it worth a lot of money to you? It's kishmak. At the end of the day, it tasted good. At the end of the day, you feel good. Yechayev atznehenem imomen chaveiroi, says Rashi. From left field, Rashi just made up a new chiyuv called nehenem imomen chaveiroi. That's the potential chiyuv of mamon here. What do we gain by calling it a nehenem imomen chaveiroi rather than a mazik or rather than a ganav? What's the answer by say? What do we gain? We gain everything. What do we gain? We gain 3 seconds. That's all we need is 3 seconds. If you're going to make yechayev atznehenem ganav, that means the chiyuv is going to kick it from what moment? The bad moment. What's the bad term? The word we don't want to see in the sugya? Hagbah. That's going to undermine the ability of applying kimav dramin, eh? So we don't want to call you a mazik. So we won't call you a mazik. That's what we brought. We won't call you a ganav. That's what we brought Reuben to shove it down your throat. We don't want to call Shimon a ganav. He's nishkin ganav. He didn't do maisek boy. He didn't do maisek neva. But he's chayiv mamon anyway, or he should have been chayiv mamon anyway, based on hana. When does hana kick in? Hanoah does not kick in when you pick it up. Hanoah doesn't kick in when it goes into your mouth. When does Hanoah kick in? It's down the tube. Akashmak. Wow. This is the time of Hanoah. And by golly, just by sheer coincidence, what else happens as it goes down? That's what the Chimi says, because that's called Achila. So guess what? We have found the case. By transforming this Chi of Mammon out of the realm of a Chi of Ganav into the realm of a Chi of Nana, what we have done is we have gained the precious 3 seconds that we needed. We were able to delay the chiyuv until the moment of truth, i.e. the moment of achila. We now have 2 chiyuvim that are coinciding together. One's a chiyuv misa, one's a chiyuv mamon. By golly, this is the perfect candidate for what? For what? Say it all together. Everybody said this is the perfect candidate for? Kimmel Dramine, which is exactly what the Gemara is trying to do. So do you see how what the Gemara just did? Everyone noticed this when you're reading the Gemara. Everyone realized we thought we were going on Tzuchas Geneva. The Gemara changed courses. The Gemara never said what the other Chiyuv is. Rashi had to tell you what it is, because otherwise there's something missing. It's overkill in the Gemara. Rashi had explained that it's a Chiyuv Hanoah. That's what makes the Sugya fly. So Rabbi Isai, in order to make any sense out of this Sugya, in order to appreciate, to understand where Chazal are coming from, there's something on this board that we know very, very little about. We know a lot about Misa B'Dei Shemayim. We know a lot about Achila. We know a lot about Mammon in general. We know a lot about Geneva. We know a lot about Mazik. We know very, very little about this new Chiyuv. Until Ksuba stuff, Laman Rebbe, we never heard of it before. But Rashi said it has to exist. If it doesn't exist, then the Gemara just doesn't make any sense.
Someone is sticking the Truma pretty much into the guy's throat.
You wonder what kind of nose is that?
I wonder why is he kind of new so? I mean, it's not his fault. What did he do wrong?
Hold on. That may be the Gemara's question. Have to wait till the next sugya. Okay? Alright? Wait till the next sugya. Alright? So before we go further to understand conceptually Hanoah, Rashi's quick to tell you another piece of information. You should just know, Rashi says, that this nuance of Chiyuv, are we talking about a Chiyuv of Geneva? Are we talking about a Chiyuv of Hanoah? It's not just a question of 3 second time delay, it's a question of dollars and cents also. There's a different value in terms of mumminess that we're going to place if the chiyuv was a chiyuv of that bad word hagbah, which would have translated to mean gonev, ganav, in contrast to the chiyuv hanoah. What's the difference? It says Rashi, when you steal something, how much you have to pay? I mean, the value of what the object is. When you nene, how much you have to pay? How much you benefited it. Are they necessarily the same? Not necessarily. That's what Rashi is quick to point out, that v'lo d'mei kula, you have to pay the value of the hanav, not necessarily the value of the whole truma, but the high shait at that moment, chiyuv misa namik, and therefore it's kibbutz drama, and you have in this particular case to get off scot-free. So this is the structure of the Gemara. We just changed from a chiyuv geneva b'shas akba, which wouldn't meet the criteria of kibbutz drama, to a chiyuv hana b'shas achila, which would meet the criteria from the chiyuv nakana, by rav, etc. of kibbutz drama. So far, so good. The rabbi said, we don't know too much about this chiyuv hana, so in order to make any sense of the sugya, we better find out a little bit more. How did Rashi know this exists? Rashi read the Gemara Ksubas the same way everybody else here read it. Rashi was in worse position than you were. You know why? Because he didn't have Rashi. So he's reading the Gemara, he's looking at the Gemara, and he's scratching his head and thinking, wait a second, the Gemara just did overkill. If there's no Ganev, if there's no Hagbah, so why is he Chayav? So Rashi did what? What did Rashi immediately do? He pressed his Shas button. And he started to go through all of Shas in his mind. Where do we find the Chiyuv to pay for Hana without being called a ganav? Where do we find, is there a model for this in the Torah? And he dug up, obviously, a Mishnah Maseches Bava Kamma. He didn't even reference you to the Mishnah Bava Kamma. He just assumed you knew what he was talking about. There's the Mishnah Maseches Bava Kamma, which is really the background for this Shittas Rashi. You can only understand Ksubas Daf Lamed through the eyes of Bava Kamma, Tess Bava Kamma. Comes the Mishnah Bava Kamma, the second paragraph tells us, based on Sukkot Parshas Mishpatim, we know that there are several different examples of Dvarim HaMazikim, actually 24 Chiyuvei Mazik in the Torah. And one of the Chiyuvei Mazik is shame. If my animal eats something, I'm chayav to pay. How do you know that? What's the pasuk? Ubir b'steyacher. The Torah says, Ki yabir ish sadeh achem, v'shilach esbiru, ubir b'steyacher, metav karim sadeh, metav karim yishalim. You have to pay for shame that eats. My animal eats up your carrots, your fruit, I have to pay for it. So the Torah Shemapet tells us on the Pasuk, Uvir b'steyacher. Steyacher means it's the field of the Nizak, in contrast to Bishus HaRabim. If you left your food out in the middle of the street and my animal ate up your food, I don't have to pay. That's Shein Bishus HaRabim, Perish and Mishnah, Shein Bishus HaRabim is potter. Cholodes, nobody ever argued that. Shein Bishus HaRabim is potter. However, comes the Mishnah in Bava Kamma and qualifies the statement and says, yes, it's true that Shein Bishus HaRabim is potter, but the Imnenes B'Shalem is Mashanenes. What if tachlis, the animal got a good meal? The animal ate up all your fruit. Now the animal's really, really happy. It's feeling good, and I'm feeling good. You know why? I don't have to feed my animal for the next week. It got a good week's worth of dinner out of your fruit, which was sitting in the middle of the street. So the Mishnah says, then I do have to pay. I have to pay kadesh nenes. So if I have to pay kadesh nenes anyway, so what's the chiddush of the Torah that Ovi Abisteyachel and my Mishnah Sarabim? If I'm paying anyway, what do you mean I'm part of Mishnah Sarabim? And my potter mechayim, make up your mind. So the Mishnah and the Gemara explains that there's a big, big difference. If I be chayav al tshein, al tzavah hamazik, my behema shehizik, then I have to pay the full value of what it was. So let's say if this, if the fruit that it sold in the marketplace was worth $1,000, I have to pay every last penny $1,000. So if my animal goes into your backyard and eats your fruit, I have to pay $1,000. Like if I break your window, I got to pay you the full value of the window. I break your arm, I got to pay the full value of the arm. Plus, typically. Shein b'shus harabim, I don't have to pay the value of what it ate. I only have to calculate, we have to evaluate, basically has to evaluate, how much did I benefit? How much did I benefit? I'll take my benefit. I look at my general weekly bills for animal foods. So usually I got to go buy, let's say I got a dog, so what's my dog like to eat? What's it called? What's the dog food called? What's it called? Alpo. What's it called? Alpo? It's called Alpo. Is that dog food anymore? We'll call it. Okay. So I need a good name for my dog. What's a good name? Give me a good name for my dog. Sparky? Like Rover. Isn't Rover? Rover. Okay. So we got Rover over here. Okay. Make sure we got everyone around. Okay. So we got... Okay. Here's Rover. Right? Like Rover. The Rover goes into your field and eats up your... What does Rover like to eat? What do dogs like to eat? What do dogs eat? Posbuchov, right? Okay, so he's eating up your, eating up all your meat. Okay, you got a lot of meat sitting on your floor. In your, he walked right through the fence, right? He walked in and he ate up your food. So we have to figure out how much meat did he eat. So we go, we see he ate two bags of meat. So we got to figure out how much did that sell for in the market. That would have sold for $1,000. I got to give the guy a check for $1,000, right? But if Rover didn't go into Rishus HaYochid, rather he ate it in the Rishus HaRabim, so then we do like this. It's true that Alpo sold for $1,000, let's say. It's true that the meat, let's say, sold for $1,000, but I wouldn't usually give such fancy meat. He went ahead and he ate these fancy barbecue steaks. He ate these, the stuff he would buy in the fancy restaurants. I don't even know the names of these restaurants. He went ahead and ate stuff worth $1,000. I would never give her over $1,000. I'd buy the cheapy garbage, beside Oif Becholov. I wouldn't want to lie and buy Leif Boss Becholov. So I'd give him $0.29, $25 cheapy beside a veil or something. So now I have to pay. How much was I net there? Because now I don't have to feed Rover this week. So I have to give the other guy $25. So the other guy's screaming, "What do you mean $25? You got to give me $1,000." So I turn it around. I pull out a posting chumash. Be a b'steyachel. It might be shisarabim. So that's the difference. The ma'aseh the Mishnah says that when you pay for demei hezek of shein b'shus hayochid b'shus hanizah, you have to pay the full amount. When you pay b'shus harabim, then you just pay l'fi mashen hezek. Pay b'shus gemara in maseches b'lekeh. So Rashi borrowed that Gemara, and it's obvious that's the Gemara that Rashi had in mind. And Rashi says that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here also. When I ate your food, but I didn't steal your food, you can't make me chayav al tzachos ganav because I didn't do a ma'aseh ganeva. I'm totally passive. Someone's shoving it down my throat. So Rashi has made an unbelievable comparison here. Rashi compared the oichel al yidei tchivas chaveiroi. The guy who's eating somebody's food because somebody else shoved it down his mouth is the halakhic equivalent of Shein B'Shus HaRavim. In a million years, I wouldn't have said such a thing. I would not be so creative, but that's what Rashi just did. Rashi says these are both examples where the real Mechayev is lacking. The real Mechayev to pay the full value is lacking here because it's not B'Steyach here. The real Mechayev is lacking here because there's no Gezeila, there's no Veshach HaShegozel. I wasn't Gezeila, didn't do it HaGbot, didn't do it Kinyan Gezeila. So the real Mechayev, the Mazik itself, either the Mazik of Gazan or the Mazik of Shein, is lacking. But just as the Mishnah Baba Kama has a Chiddush that you still have to pay out Tanoah vis-a-vis Shein, which is a Rabbim, so too you have to pay out Tanoah here as well. And therefore Rashi was quickly on the Ramesh on the ball. Rashi said, and by the way, there's going to be a difference in dollars and cents, just as there's a difference in the Mishnah Baba Kama. So there's no question that was the model Rashi was invoking. But we have to ask ourselves a question, Rabbi Sai. Where in the world did this din come from? What do you have to pay for? Why in the world do these people, the person whose animal ate something in B'Shus HaRavim, the person who got truma shoved down his throat, why do they have to pay? Everyone's potter to prove in chayv. What's the chalav raya? Why in chayv? Based on what? You can't call me a gazer and do a ma'aseh gzeira. You can't be b'chayv for shein because it's shein B'Shus HaRavim. So where did this chayv hanoah come from? So it's a mishnah b'Baba Kama. The Gemara never says b'noni mili. How do you know where they come from? What's it based on? What's the lumdus of this? Where in the world did it come from? If this is the underlying nuchi of an Ar Sugya and Ksubas, which Rashi is putting into that Sugya, based on the Vakaba, Menohani Mili, where did this come from? How did the Tanoim figure this thing out? Where did it come from? So Yaduwa Mefursam, a fundamental Chakira, should be Yaduwa Mefursam, we'll be in about a minute from now, as to what the nature of this Chiyav of Hanoah is. Bein the Chiyav Hanoah of Shein B'Shus HaRavim, bein the application of the Chiyav Hanoah of the guy who's eating Ayyadei Tchivas Chavei, right? What's the nature of this Chiyav of Hanoah? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand this, that this is a separate, independent Lechayiv. It's a new Chiyav, this is not Bava Kama anymore. This is not the second Bava Kama, this is not Shein anymore. Shein is only via B'Steyacher. This is not Gezeil. Leil is only Asher Gozel. There's a Ma'aseh Gezeil. This is not Gezeil. This is not Bava Kama. This is not Bava Tzitzit. This is not Nezikin anymore. This is a separate, independent Chi of HaTorah called you a Nene. You got to pay for your Hano. It's not rooted in Bava Kama. It's not rooted in Iver Ovis Nezikin. It's not rooted in Chavdalan Ovis Nezikin. It has nothing to do with the regular rules of Gezeil. It has to do with the regular dinners of Ma'aseh. It's a separate, independent Chi of called Hano. Where did it come from? What's the, so how did the Tanoim figure it out? So comes Reb Shimon and Sefer Shari Yosher and says either one of two ways. If it's an independent Chiyuv not linked at all to Parshas Mishpatim, then it had one of two possible Makaris. One is, tak another Pasuk somewhere else in Chumash. Heichan Matzinu Davar Kazeh, that you have to pay for Hano. The Tanoim just made it up out of thin air. Where do we find there is a precedent for such a thing of paying for Hano? Where do we find such a concept of paying for Hanar? Everybody said we've spoken about it already this year. Where do you find it? Where do you have such a concept that, oh my goodness, you were nana from something you weren't supposed to? You got to come up with the cash for it. What? Me'ila. Isn't that what Me'ila is, Rabbi say? Isn't that what the parsha of Me'ila is? You were nana min a hektish. Now the Torah says, you have to pay. So what? That has to, this is this? What? That's Beis HaMikdash, that's the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's Yerdeya, that's Arachayim, that's Ben HaMakam. What does it have to do with my with Rove reading Alpo in the middle of the street? What does it have to do with Reuben sticking Truma down Shimon's throat? How can you derive from Me'ila? In your Me'ila, it's a moment, it's a Cheshen Mishpat. What's the answer, Rabbi say? We over-dramatized Me'ila. We thought Me'ila was what? We thought, oh my goodness, the Torah says, a guy ate something from the Beis HaMikdash. You serve at the Beis HaMikdash. He's a Rosh of Adam LaMokom. What a terrible thing. He's more behektish, kevalt. He's a terrible balaver, but I'm LaMokom. Nah. We missed about Rabbi say. What is Me'ila? Stidim Maminis. L'Hashem Aretzim Lo, the Rebbeinu Shalom. It belongs to Rebbeinu Shalom. It says in the Sefer, L'Hashem Aretzim Lo. What do you mean? You used it? What do you mean, Misifrei Tzvi Sobolovsky? It's a chutzpah. It belongs to Rebbeinu Shalom. You use something that belongs to you. You're a nana from the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's why you have to pay for Me'ila. Maybe we totally missed the boat of what the Chiyuv Me'ila is. The Chiyuv Me'ila is mominous. It's mominous. Clap for the Rebbeinu Shalom. If so, then we could extrapolate from there to Shein B'Shus Harabim and further extrapolate from there to Oichalai Deit Chivas Chaveray. Do we have any inkling of such an idea? Do we have any precedent, any reason to believe that that's what Me'ila is? The Me'ila is nothing more than just plain and simple Geneva. I mean, Geneva using, I don't want to use Geneva, it's too bad. Simple just using something that doesn't belong to you. Who said that already? Who told this to us before Yom Tov? Do you remember Taisus? Wasn't there a Taisus that said that Tashlume Truma is Tashlume Kapora? Remember that? Tashlume Me'ila? What did Taisus say? It's Mominus. Plain and simple Mominus. We had a Taisus, didn't we have it? Karen Drichaime Shal Hektish Ainamushim Kapara Alamishali Mamans. Plain Mamans. Nothing more than just Mamans. Plain and simple Mamans. So Rabbi Shimon says one possibility, this is the Mofar. Wow. And just in case you think this is just too innovative, this is just too creative to invoke the Parsha of Me'ila as the source for Rover eating Alpo in the middle of the street, says Rabbi Shimon, then I have to fall back on something else. There is no Pasuk for it. And it's a Din D'oraisa anyway. You know why? What does the Gemara say beginning of Fifth Perek of Bava Kama? Lamli what? Lamli kras varhi. It is intuitively obvious to any intelligent person that there's no way in the world you could get away without feeding your dog for a week off Yerim's Cheshbon. You're going to get out of feeding your dog because your dog was smart enough to figure out not to go into the guy's house but to go eat in the street because Rover Limp of a Kama in Cheder. So he knew that he goes and eats the steak, you're going to get out of pain. Come on. He wasn't that smart, Rover. He learned the first Mishnah Bava Kama, didn't learn the second Perek Bava Kama. But you have to pay out Tanah. How could it be? How are you talking? It's not fair. Pasha, how are you talking? The fark is there. Reuven's going to get something out of Shimon. Reuven's going to benefit out of Shimon's property. It can't be. Lamli cross the Baruch. So if Shimon's not sure what the mocker for this idea of Hanoh is, but it's quite possible that there's a new chiyuv HaTorah, either based on a Yafusa from Me'ila, based on a Svarbiyama. There's a new chiyuv called Hanoah. There's nothing to do with Parshas Mazik, nothing to do with Parshas Geneva. There's a new chiyuv called Hanoah. So again, we have Shein, Rishus HaRabim, we have the Sugging Subis, and we have one possibility that it's a chiyuv Chadash. We're not sure, is it derived from Me'ila? Is it a svara? Unclear. Is there another possibility, everybody say? Another way of understanding? What's the other way of understanding? It's not a new chiyuv. There's no new chiyuv in the Torah. Everything's there already. Fachba the kula. It's all there in the Chumash. You know why Shein B'Shus HaRabim pays? You know why? Because you're a mazik. Your mom is a mazik. At the end of the day, your animal destroyed somebody else's property. Elo what? The Torah tells us there are two kinds of shames. There's shein b'shus hayochid, Shein b'shus ha-nizak. So that chiyuv of shein b'shus ha-nizak is chayuv to pay the full value of what was taken away. That's the classic shein in the Torah. And then the shein part two, even though it's missing some of the details and technicalities of the chiyuv shein, namely, it happens not to be b'shus ha-yochid, but if sof kol sof, the guy was nene. Whatever your nen, I mean, mum and chavero, you're automatically called a mazik. Now, you're not a full class mazik. You're a mazik vis-a-vis the Dmei HaNosha boy. It's a lower level mazik, but mazik it is. So that's the second possibility. It means there is no chiv chadash. It's not that you have to close Parshas Mishpatim and go fishing for Parshas Vayikra, go fishing for Svaras Biyama. It's shein. It's all part of shein. Of course, if you're nen off somebody else's back, of course you're a mazik. The Chiddush HaTorah that you don't pay, Rishus HaRabim just meant to say you don't pay the full amount. You pay only the fee of the Mehanosha boy. But Kol Zman does not know that amount that you're paying is Tashlum HaNezek. It's not Tashlum HaChodesh, it's Tashlum HaNezek. Chiyuv Yashan. It's the old Chiyuv of Mazik. And we can extrapolate this over to what? Barachadit Chivas Chaveiroi. Reuven shoves Truma down Shimon's throat. And Shimon's geschmack of Valdik. Ah, what a good tasting food that Reuven shoved down my throat that he wasn't supposed to because it belonged to the Kohen. Can you call Shimon a gazlan in the fullest sense of the word? It's hard to call him a real gazlan. You know why? There's a certain condition that usually is necessary to call a person a gazlan. What's that condition? A gekinyan, a maisa gazela. Usually need Asher Gozal. And he didn't really do Asher Gozal. He didn't do a kinyan. So he's not a real gazlan. But on the other hand, sof kol sof, the food belonged to somebody else, and you ate it. So what should we call you? Think of another name to call him. I ate food that doesn't belong to me. I am a gazlan. I didn't do a kidding gazela. I've been a gazlan without a kidding gazela. I'm like a shein hamazik without a chiv of shein hamazik. This is gazlan track two. The same way in Hukha Shein, we say, I'm called a mazik, albeit not to the full extent. I'm a mazik legabe the Dmei HaNosha boy. So too, this is Rashi's extrapolation, because Rashi is equating our sugya with the sugya of Bava Kama, the second parak. I'm considered to be a gazlan vis-a-vis the Dmei HaNosha boy, and that's exactly what Rashi says. I have to pay for the Dmei HaNosha boy. The good news for our sugya is that the chiv kicks in at the time of achila, therefore the Dramine kicks in.
The reason I'm calling you a gazlan more than a mazik?
You want to call me a mazik, call me a gazlan, call whatever you want. Call me Elwick, whoever you want. But one thing, don't call me a Moel Behektish. Don't tell me a Lamli Kros of Aru. It's Pashas Mishpatim, or whatever Pasha Gezela. Okay, Pasha Vehicle, because that's Pasha Gezela, whatever it is. So, Rabbi Say, we have a fundamental Chakira as to what the nature of this Chiyav Shein B'Shus Rabim is, which is critical for us because it's going to spill over to our understanding. Ksubas, as Rashi already linked the two sugyas, we have one possibility of chiyav chadash, which further broke down. We weren't sure where it came from, and we have the other chiyav of chiyav yashan of mazik / gazlan. That parsha, that's the second possibility. We're not up to that line yet. Okay, we're not up to that line. The Gemara, we're going to get there. I mean, you want to know what happened to the guy who picked it up? What happened? He wasn't have to pay. Well, okay, we didn't yet say that he's not have to pay, or unless we're assuming that just putting it in somebody else's mouth, so what? Take it out of the guy's mouth, and it's a big deal. Just because the grape was in somebody else's mouth, therefore it's valueless. We'll see. We'll see as the sugya plays out. So everybody said these are the two possibilities. No, you mean Shalom if you had no Shabbat. Yeah, unless you're a Maitzi Asadavar. If you're Maitzi, there are two kinds of Milah. There's Milah of Hanav, there's Milah of Yitzim Rishos. But Milah of Hanav, it wasn't Maitzi Mishos Hektish, and I thought I just played if you had no Shabbat.
Even if it's filled in the
Yazid, the source
for it,
though. I got the source. Ubiyer, Bistei Acher. Oh, sorry, did I say Bistei Acher? I didn't really mean that.
There are different people that split
up. Right.
How do you know that?
That's it. This is it. How do I know? I have Ruach HaKodesh, that's all I know. I know I'm read this pasuk and said, that's what it means. V'yabisteyachet means two different. It's inconceivable the Torah should have popped at you just because it's in the middle of a Shas HaRabim. That's crazy. Rover ate the meal. Rover is full now. So you're not a mazik, of course you're a mazik. No, of course you're a mazik, and therefore you're subject to Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, so we have to use that noodle for a lot of things. The Torah doesn't tell us everything with Farish, otherwise we have nothing to do all day. Right? The Torah told us that there would be like Luchas Rishaynis, everything would just be there, and we'd be sitting around and nothing to say in Shia. We'd be out of a job, so we have to think a lot. Okay. Rabbi Say, this is not some Achrenish HaKira that we thought up 20 years ago. This is Beferish in Rishaynim. No, who talks about this Beferish? The Rashba. This Nakud is a machloikas between the Rashba and the who? And the Shail and the Rashba. He was a Rishon. We just don't know who he was. So somebody who presented the Shail to the Rashba, and the Rashba's response was exactly this Nakud. So the Shail to the Rashba presented the following Shail. Says these scenarios of the Mehanoah, let's stick the Baba Kama, fix the Mishnah. Make the Baba Kama, case of Shem Bishas Arabi. The Shul to the Rashba presents the following Shaila. So good. Rover ate steak in the middle of the street. So we evaluate how much the Mehanoah is. It's not the $1,000, it's only $100. I would only give him the cheap $100 Alpo, and I have to pay $100. Zok the Shail, frek the Shul to the Rashba. Everybody knows the first Mishnah in Maseches Bava Kama says, Chayuve Mazik always pay what? From which land? Let's say if I own a lot of land, I have some good quality land, not such good quality land, very bad land. So all of land in the halacha is divided into three categories: Edus, Benus, and Ziburus. Edus being the best, the Torah says, Meitav Sedeh, Meitav Karmi Yishalim. The Mazik always pays Ben Meitav. So the Shail to the Rashba asked, when we figure out that I have to pay $100, do I have to pay from the Meitav or not? That Chumras HaTorah of Meitav Sedeh, Meitav Karmi Yishalim, does that apply to the Chiyuv HaNoah or not? That's the Shail the Rashba was asked. The Shoel didn't just send the question, he formulated the lumdus behind the Nakudas HaSafik of his. What was the Shail? The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, why is it that the Torah says a Mazik pays Meitav? Meitav Sedeh, Meitav. Unlike other areas of halacha, sometimes you get away with paying Ben Mezibur. Why does a Mazik have to pay Meitav? You know what the Gemara says? You know what the reason is? It's very posh. What's the reason? Why do you pay Meitav? No. We're trying to discourage you from being Mazik. A guy should think twice before he breaks somebody's window. A guy should think twice before he lets his animal run around the street and goring people. A guy should think twice before he digs holes in all the street. So in order to prevent Hezek, the Torah put a special added chumra that we're going to take away. You're not going to be able to give away some cheapy land you own in Wyoming. We're going to take away your property, your office in Midtown. We're going to take away your Indus, your best, highest quality land. You're going to lose everything if you're Mazik somebody. That'll be the incentive not to be Mazik, hopefully. So comes the Shul to the Rashba and says, does the din of Meitav really depend on this Svara? Means when this Svara is true, so then the din of Meitav is true? What if you have a type of a Mazik where it's just, the Svara doesn't really apply. To this particular case, the Svara doesn't apply. For example, says the Shul to the Rashba, this case, a Mishali Mashinenes. Says the Shul to the Rashba, this case, a Mishali Mashinenes, you think the guy with intent sent out his animal to go eat the Alpo in the middle of the street? You think that's what happened? He mamish did it b'kavana gemura? You think that's what happened? No, I don't think that's what happened. You know why, says the Rashba, says the Shail? Because if that's what happens, if that's what happened, you know what I think the din should be? What do you think the din should be? Maybe he should have to pay the full amount. And we'll let him get away with cheapy, with a very, very small amount. So Mistama, this is a quote-unquote mazik, b'li kavanas hezik. So that's the nekudas hasafik of the Shul and the Rashba. When you have a mazik without kavanas hezik, do we say that incentive, that, it's, I don't want to use the word knas, I don't mean it in a halachic way, but we'll use it in a colloquial sense, the knas ha-Torah, that you have to pay edus, you have to pay for the best meitav, maybe that only makes sense to a real Rasha Marusha. The guy breaks the guy's window, the guy digs a hole, the guy who mamish lets his animal run wild on purpose. That makes sense to be mechayev meitav. This is a very watered down mazik, and therefore maybe you can argue the reason doesn't apply, maybe the din doesn't apply. That's the suffix in the Shail. So the Rashba responded two things to the Shail. No, who saw the Rashba inside? What did the Rashba respond? What did the Rashba respond? He said, you're wrong on both counts. He says, first of all, mazikim, even unintentional, pay meitav. Haraya, Adam Mor Li'Olam. The guy damages, totally not his fault. Completely not. He was sleeping. He rolled over in bed and he knocked somebody's flowers over or something, the vase over. So he's got to pay. And how does he pay? From what? Meitav. He totally wasn't a bad guy. He's not a mean guy. He still, if you're Mazik, you're Mazik. Finished. That Svar the Gemara, as I like to say in my shul, that Svar the Gemara in the fifth parak of Gittin, that the reason why you pay Meitav is to make sure you don't Mazik. When would I say that in my shul? I would say it when? Shabbos morning. I would never say it Shabbos Mincha Ma'ariv. What do I mean by that? No, come on, you guys been in my shul. Shabbos morning, the rabbi gets up and he sermonizes, gives a drush. Why do we shake a lulav? Because that's a this, it's my heart, it's a lulav, it's an esrog, it's a this, brings Christ. I got beautiful, beautiful drushes. Sermons, you know, Amish, every possible thing we could talk about. Drushes, bialma. The Mincha Ma'ariv, am I sure what I talk about? Is it an esrog echoser? Is it not esrog echoser? Is it a lulav ahoder? Not a fomdis, halocha, ma'isa. Most shuls couldn't say that because most shuls, the rabbi Mincha Ma'ariv speaks at Shal Shudas, he speaks even more Jewish than he did in the morning. But in my shul, it's only the first nights of Yom Tov, that's not a fair. The meeting in my shul for some reason, the first night of Yom Tov, I always give drush. But besides that, the night shir is always the halacha shir. So it comes to Rashba and says, this reason of the Gemara, the reason why the guy pays Meitav is because we want to be mean on him. Says the Rashba, they come, I never meant that seriously. La halacha, that was a drush. The Amorim also had to give sermons in the morning on Shabbos. So they, yeah, Parshas Mishpatim. One of the Amorim got up and gave a nice, beautiful, you know, shtickle Torah. But that wasn't the real reason why. If you're Mazik, you pay Meitav, finish. So the Rashba knocked out the first mahalach of the Shoyl. And then he turns around to the Shoyl and he says, but guess what? Yeah, you don't pay Meitav anyway. You know why? Because you what? He's not a mazik, b'chlal. He's not a mazik. He says, "Mechum, should be a v'steyachas." Nishkin mazik. It's a hano. Hano is nishkin mazik. The chiddush hatorah of meitav is a mazik pays meitav. If I borrow $100 from you, when I pay back, I don't have to pay meitav. I buy a bag of potatoes, so I got to pay you money. You can't come to my meitav. It's a special deal by mazik, and I'm not a mazik. This is shein b'shus ram. I'm not a mazik. Or now sugya, when Reuben shoves this truma down Shimon's mouth. Now Shimon's throat. Shimon's not a mazik. Shimon's a hana. Shimon's a nen. And nen is nishkin mazik. So where do you pay from? So what kind of a chiv is it? Either it's a svar, it's a pasuk, whatever the makor is. What should you pay? What is the other rule? If it's not mazik, what is the general rule of Torah? What do you pay when you have other chiv of Torah? Well, anyone who learned Brava Kama, anyone who learned Gittin should know the answer to that. If I borrow $100 from you, where do I pay from? No one can answer that question. So the Mishnah says, if I borrow $100, do I pay from what? From Beinonis. But what does the Gemara say? Devar Torah midderais, you really pay from Ziburis, you pay from the garbage. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Yetzei aleches avad achutza. You pay mamish the garbage. I borrow $1,000 from you, I can give you a field in the middle of Wyoming. As long as somebody can evaluate it, they can evaluate it in Wyoming to be worth $1,000. The guy's shrine chavikhaim, I don't want land in Wyoming. I'd rather have 1 inch in Midtown than 1,000 acres in Wyoming. So what do I say to him? Sorry, Midarais, I just pay Ziburis. So came along to Tanoim and said, you know what? It's not going to be a good, no one's going to want to borrow to lend money because no one's going to want land in Wyoming. So therefore they said, hey, you know what? Midarabanan, Satakona Biyama, at least pay back Beinonis. So that's where the Mishnah comes from. The Mishnah in the fifth record says that Baal Chayv is Beinonis. What's on the Midarabanan? Midarais, you pay back Ziburis, Midarabanan, pay back Beinonis. So comes the Rashba to the Shoyl and says, Mazik, it's not. It is for sure it's not. Forget Idis, it's not Idis. What is it? Is it Beinonis or Ziburis? And the Rashba's silent. So the Ktzois picks up where the Rashba left off. And you know what the Ktzois says? He thinks Lamaisa, you know what it is? He thinks it's Ziburis. You know why? Because fundamentally, it's like a Baal Chayv. Means it's a svar, it's a meil, whatever it is, it's not mazik. If it's not mazik, it's fundamentally like it's just a chay bi'alma, so it's ziburis. And shalotinol delsa, if they love him, what does that have to do with this? It's not a chay, it's not a malvin loiver. The whole reason for the gezerah doesn't apply, so therefore they left it under deraisas. So you can argue that last nakuda of the ktzais chazanish. Questions that last, that's very nuanced, they're abundant. But fundamentally, with the deraisa, the ktzais, and the rashba, and everybody says the shoyl was fundamentally not correct. There's the chi of Hano, it's a chiv b'fnei atzmoi, it's nothing to do with mazik, it's a mamash, a brand new chiv. And therefore, mid derayset zicher b'zivuris, maybe mid derabanus b'beninus, maybe not, I'm not sure. To be determined, but not now. So Rabbi Say, the shoyl in the Rashba was yadu alo, he had no latest a suffix that it's mazik. He just had a nuance of a latest a suffix, whether this is the kind of a mazik that we throw the chumr of meta. That was the only thing the shoyl in the Rashba wasn't sure about. And the Rashba said he was wrong on that suffix, but fundamentally he was wrong on his basic premise, because this is not mazik altogether, this is the chiyav hanashim. So Rabbi Say, getting back to our story, so we have Zahar Shachal Truma, the Gemara came up with a new kind of a case. The only case that could make the Kibbutz Rabbeinu case is Chiyav Hanah. Rashi immediately, without saying it beferish, referenced the Gemara Bava Kama. We threw out a razzle-dazzle chakira about the nature of the Gemara Bava Kama. We showed it to Machlokes HaRishonim. We're doing pretty well for ourselves. So far, so good. Rabbi said we have to go one step further. This question about what the nature of this chiyav is, because our entire sukkah is hinging on this chakira, quite possibly goes back way before us, way before the Rishonim or the Rashba and the Shoyl. It may have its roots in the Gemara itself. This may be a point that's actually being debated by the Amoraim themselves in the Gemara Bava Kama, right under our noses. Anyone read the Gemara Bava Kama carefully? Who's got Gemara Bava Kama for me? Who's got Gemara Bava Kama? No one? No Gemaras? Okay. We'll take a real Gemara. Okay. Always like real Gemaras. Can't see these Gemaras. They're a little too small, but... That worked. Okay. When I got... I was getting Chasam Torah Mishul. So they called me up at Chasam Torah. I was about to make the brachas. And then I realized I was wearing my regular glasses, not my reading glasses. So I realized I'm partially wouldn't be able to see a word. So there were like 5,000 kids that just finished calling the arm, about 5,000 kids between me and where my shtender was and my glasses were. So I saw there was absolutely not a chance in the world I was ever going to make it through. So I looked for the smallest kid there, and I said, pointed to him where to go. I said, just bring me what's on the shtender. Okay. All right. So Gemara is a fascinating background to this discussion. Rabbi Chama of Chafam and Aleph. Everyone saw it? Rabbi Chama and Rabbi Chizda write the whole story? Only Rabbi Chizda and Rabbi Chama. Rabbi Chizda says to Rabbi Chama, Lo haviz gabon b'orsa b'tchuma. You missed yesterday's shir. Right? Said you were outside the tchum. Whatever that meant. Either Shabbos or just was far away. Said you missed yesterday's shir. Di boilan mili b'alisa. He said we had a gevaldika discussion. It was really the happen day in yeshiva yesterday. So he said, "Amma my milim alyasa, what was so great? What did I miss?" So Chizda said to him, "Amma like hadar b'chatz chaver shlomi daita tzarich la haschar ein tzarich. What's the din if I see you have an apartment that's open and you're not around, and I walk into your apartment and move in for a month, and now the month's over, you come back and I say, wait a second, can you pay me a month's rent? And I say, why should I pay a month's rent? What did you lose? So this is the classic example of what." I was marviach, I got a month in your apartment, and you lost nothing. So the Gemara just goes through the details, make sure that the guy lost nothing. It means he wasn't available for him. He wasn't going to rent it out to anybody else. And this guy, say the marshal, he's got an apartment sitting in the middle of Rechavia somewhere, right? And it's not prime time, you know. It's not Sukkot, it's not Pesach, not you know, not January break. You know, it's not the summer. It's the middle of middle of November, something most people aren't coming. Yeshiva guy says, oh, pretty good. So the apartment, the guy left the door open on Sukkot, so he goes in and moves in for a week. So he was nana. Shiva guy got a nice, his dira was a little schwach, so he got a much, much nicer dira right now for a week. And the Bala boss from America comes and says, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing in my apartment? So the Shiva guy says, what did I didn't ruin anything. If I broke something, I pay you out to Mazik. But what? I lived there for a week, so why should I pay you? So the guy says, what do you mean? A week's rent in Rechav? That's $10,000. So the guy says, but you weren't renting it out anyway. So that was the dintar. That's the shah of the Rechitza. That was the discussion in the Yeshiva. So, Rabbi Bachama wasn't so impressed with the discussion. You have to remember where everybody is over here. What was the relation between Rav Chizda and Rabbi Bachama? It was his father-in-law. Okay? So was who else? Who else was in the same sugya? Rav was also. Rav was also the son-in-law of Rav Chizda. Who? The same person. I mean, the daughter of Rav Chizda first married Rabbi Bachama, and when Rabbi Bachama died, then she married Rav. So they were both Tamidim Rav Chisda. The Gemara tells the story about how Rav Chisda was saying Shia one day, and he had his little girl sitting on his lap. So he had two young Bachim who were sitting in the yeshiva. One was Rabbi Chama, one was Rava. So he, the little girl was sitting on his lap, and she was probably making a lot of noise, like my kids do. So he turned around to her to make a joke. So he said, which of the boys in yeshiva do you want to marry? So what does she do? So she points to both of them. She said, I want to marry him, I want to marry him. So Rava realized that this little girl must have some kind of Ruach HaKodesh. So Rava said, good, we're maskim, but he goes first. So Rava says, that's what happened. They were all young, they were all kids. Rabbi Chama was a kid. Rava, they were all little kids. So when they got a little bit older, so she married Rabbi Chama, and Rabbi Chama died as a young man, and then eventually she married Rava. That's what Gemara says. Okay, anyway, so while this is going on at some point, but everyone's still alive, so Rabbi Chama wasn't so impressed. I don't think he was his son-in-law yet. He said, based on what he says to him, the next line, he for sure wasn't his son-in-law. So he says to him, Amalei Mastisini. So Rabbi Chama said, that's the Shaila. It's good to have Misti Shiva. I don't have to come for that. Everybody knows that. It's a Ferisha Mishnah. Everyone knows that. So Rav Chisda was taken aback. He said, hey, Mastisin, which Mishnah? I don't know what Mishnah is. Which Mishnah is this? So Rabbi Chama said, I'm just going to tell you just like that. L'chit Shamishli. So you got to do me a little service. I want you to pay for the Torah. I want it to be worth something to you. The Rishon, Mefarshim talked about what the Sisrei Torah was going on over here. But Shakal Sudre, so he picked up his hat or something. So bottom line is, Rabbi Bachama said, he said, it's a fair Shem Mishnah Bavakama, Nenes Mishalemes Mashananes. He says, you see from the Mishnah Bavakama, when the case of Shane, Bishasarab, our case, Zah Shakal Truma, our case, Shane Bishasarabim is a classic example of paying for Hana. It's a classic example of Zenenev, what? What? Zenenev is Zelo, what? Chaser. Rav Bacham is extrapolating from that Mishnah and saying, what's a Chizda? Give me a Hoshek Fali about it. It's a fair Shabbishnah. The Mishnah says, Shabbishnah's Ram has to pay the Fiha no Shabbai, because Zenenev is on the Chaser is Chayev. So Rava said that Rav Bacham had special Shiata Dishmaya, that Rav Chizda let him get away with such a Shvacharaya. He says, this has nothing to do with anything. This is a terrible raya. He says, why? He says, it's not at all similar to the Mishnah. He says, in the case of the Mishnah, the other guy's chaser. What's the guy chaser? His chaser is fruit. How in the world did Rabbi Chama even dream that this has anything to do with that sugya? So to which the Gemara explains, what Rabbi Chama held was, nah, the other guy wasn't chaser, his food. You know why? The guy leaves food in the middle of Rishis Rabbim, he was by mafter anyway. It's by Mafka the Alpo anyway, so it wasn't really possible. So the Rishonim are quick to point out that you cannot take this Gemara at face value. You know why? Because if the guy was really Mafka, really, truly, honestly Mafka, then what? We have to pay the Behan Roshibo. If I eat double Hefka, I don't have to pay the Behan Roshibo. So the Rishonim are quick, Tosfos on the spot says, Afkur Mafka look like penalty markers down all over this line of the Gemara. Afkur Mafka, lo the Gamre, nah, come on, Dim Kain, I feel Mashanenis, Lamashalim. Really meant, didn't say what it meant, whatever. Not for now, we're not learning about a comment apart right now. So Rabbi Sai, what just came out from this Gemara was there was a machloikis Ram Bachama and Rava. I'm going to need to get back again soon, so we'll be over here. Okay? There's machloikis Ram Bachama and Rava. How do we shot in this Mishnah of Shein B'Shis Ram? This is the whole sugya, everything's hinging on this Mishnah. Shein B'Shis Ram is Chayiv. Right? It's Chayiv for the Mehanoah. So Rabbi Chama made an unbelievable jump from this. Rabbi Chama says, you see from the chiyuv of Shein B'Shis Harabim, we can extrapolate from Shein B'Shis Harabim to a case of Zeh Nehne V'Zeh Lo Chaser. You know, it's not called Chaser, you know why? Because basically the fruit's on its way out anyway. The apple's gone anyway. Someone else could eat it. It's basically not here. It's not so not here that it's not here, Lagari, but it's kind of not here. Rabbi Chama said, this is a good extrapolation. Shein B'Shis Harabim is basically an example of Zenenev Zeh Lo Chaser. And Rava said, what are you talking about? Shein B'Shis Harabim. That's not a Zenenev Zeh Lo Chaser. That's Chaser V'Chaser. What do you mean? Of course it's Chaser. How in the world can you extrapolate from that to the case of the guy living in Rechavia? One is Chaser, one is not Chaser. Comes the Osamech and says, what is the Nekudas HaMachloikis between, not the Rishonim anymore, what's the Nekudas HaMachloikis between the Amar Rav, between Rav and Rav Bachama? What are they fighting out? They're both sitting in front of Rav Chisda, and they're fighting out, is Shein B'Shis Harabim analogous to Zenenev Zeh Lo Chaser, or is it analogous to Chaser? Says the Asameach, if you call it a Zenenev Zeh Lo Chaser, There is no way in a million years you could ever turn around and call it a what? And call it a what? You can't call it a mazik. How can you say two things that contradict each other? You just said it's lo chosa. I didn't cause you a lo. Mazik means I broke your window. Your window went down in value. I broke your arm went down, your body went down in value. Mazik by very definition means that I caused you a chisar. And that's what every mazik is a chisar. If it's not a chisar, it's nishkin mazik. So from the fact that Rav Chama is formulating Shem Bishas and Rabim and equating it to Zenen of Zel, quote unquote, lo chaser, obviously it's not mazik. It's got to be something else. What is that something else? That something else has got to be a Svar B'yam and B'ilah, something else. Call it a Chiv Chadash. But we know it's not. It's not mazik. But Rava may be saying it's mazik. He doesn't have to call it mazik. Rava could go either way. He could say, well, it's not mazik because the Torah says B'yam is the Acher and therefore it's not mazik. But he could call it a mazik. It's in the ballpark of calling it a mazik. Rava can potentially call it a mazik. He's open to discussion. Rava Chama is closed. If it's not chosid, there's no way in a million years you can ever call it mazik. So the Asameach saw in this Gemara Bava Kama, this is how Asameach read the Gemara. He read this Gemara Bava Kama through the eyes of the Shoal. He knew already the Chivas and Rashba and the Shoal, and he knew the whole Shikol Tarek Tzais. He had this all in front of him. And now he's going back to the sources, back to the ABCs of the Gemara, and say, hey, that may very well be in between the lines of Bava Kama. So everybody said we know a little bit about the Chi of Hano. We have different possibilities, what it is. And again, we're not learning Bava Kama Dav Chav for itself right now. We're learning it because ultimately Rashi connected the dots as the source for our sugya. So we still have what to talk about this Chi of Hano. We have a basic Hakira, two basic Tzadim, or two plus basic Tzadim. But now we have to take a little bit of a negative approach to the sugya and see what is not subject to this din of Hano. To understand Hano a little bit better, we have to see some scenarios where Hano doesn't play a role and work backwards. Why Hano? You know, we spent an hour showing you why Hano is a gewaltige thing. It's a new chiv, an old chiv, but it's great. It's really grandiose chiv. Now we have to take a little bit of a step back and notice that there are some places where we would have expected Hano to be play a role, and yet it falls short. And one is also Gemara Bava Kama. Adopt the son. What? Kuf Aleph, right? You got this great Gemara. This is just one of the old-timers, right? No, what's the case? Who's going to tell me the case? If I'll say it, guys are going to laugh, so somebody else will say it. What? I don't even know how to draw a monkey. Okay, we'll draw a monkey. Okay? Here we got... How do you draw a monkey? I guess, alright, we'll do the Darwin version, okay? So we got we have a monkey. Don't they have tails? No? Does a monkey have tails? They're like funny, you know, like funny teeth, right? Okay? So here we have a monkey, and the monkey goes ahead, and there's nothing else to do with his time, right? We'll call him George, okay? So he goes ahead, and Curious George likes what color? What's his favorite color? Yellow. He likes yellow, because the man with the big yellow hat, okay? So he sees, and he's very curious, so he does a lot of interesting things. So he sees that there's this big bowl of wool over here that belongs to Reuven. And it happens to be some dye, right? Some paint or something. Okay, he's got a big jar of paint, okay, yellow paint, that belongs to Shimon. And Curious George walks over, and he takes his paintbrush, okay, and he sticks it into the yellow paint, and he paints up this beautiful, wonderful dye, that beautiful yellow-dyed wool, okay? And now George is gone. He got lost in Africa somewhere, okay? They put him in the hospital, or he's flying a kite, or he's fixing his bike, whatever he's doing something. He's good to kiss, right? He's doing something, all right? And all of a sudden, Reuven and Shimon come screaming at each other in Beis Din, right? So Shimon turns around to Reuven and says, hey, wait a second. My yellow paint is now in your wool, and you're going to sell your wool for another $50 because it's yellow painted wool. And Reuven says to Shimon, But I didn't paint your wall. This nikabut monkey painted the wall. Oh, you're not going to make me pay. And they go to a din Torah. So the Gemara is a shiloh. What's the din? So what's the shiloh? The Gemara wants to know, can we say that there's really yellow paint, there's really yellow dye in on the wall? That Shimon can really tie up, you have my mom on. You, Reuben, you're holding on to my mom. You got my yellow paint in your wool. You're a god of it, in effect. You have my wool. You're my dye. What do I say? Come on, dye, color. This is not a Gemara and brown. Brown is not here anymore. Chazusalav Milsa, the color doesn't mean anything. It's not a Davish of the end. It's not a Davish of the end. You can't say that I have your mom, and the color doesn't exist for all practical purposes anymore. It's just a few Rosei Nayim. A very doctristic understanding. How do you view something that's colored? Do you say that the color, the dye, the paint is still there as an entity, as a chepza? What do you say now? It's a very, very lomdish shaila. Nafkimir Zenuchas Mikvos, believe it or not. The woman has some makeup on. She forgot to take it off because she went to the mitzvah. It's a continued bechatzit. Very, very lomdish shaila. It's fine. So comes Tosis on the spot and says, I don't understand what's going on. This din Torah should be over before it starts. Shimon has an unbelievable claim against Reuven. What's the unbelievable claim? The wool was worth $100 beforehand. Now it's worth $120. Now it's colored wool. Dyed yellow wool. You were just netting at $20 for me. So Reuven should turn around, Shimon should turn around to Reuven and say, forget about the give me $20. We'll call it a day. So Taisus asks, Tema. And listen to this. Taisus gives you examples of Chaim Hashanana. So the first example is obvious. Where's he going to quote you from? Shein Bishas Rabim. Then he gives you another one. And then he gives you a third one. We're on cloud nine. What's the third example Taisus gives of Dmei Nehenah? Which one? We're Perek Elun Iris. Taisus is like Rashi, right? Now let's not forget, our Gemara never said the words of Eidehaneh. It never said the Mehanon. The Rishonim, I don't want to ruin the surprise, the Rishonim didn't even learn that pshat in the Gemara. But Rashi stuck it in, and the Balei Taisus obviously stuck it in. Haraya, what they just said in Bava Kamma. So Taisus formulates the kasha, what happened to the Mehanon? So Taisus says, there's no Mehanon here. Is the wrong sugi. You know why he says this? The chalik, the hanod, the hocha ein bo al yedei meisav, velo al yedei meisav behemtoi. Says Taisus, just because you are nehneh from somebody else's property, that is not enough to make you pay. There is no chiyuv to pay because you are nehneh. You have to have a meisav hanod. Taisus quickly. Tones that down a little bit. Either a maisa hano of you, or a maisa hano of your behemoth, but that's also called your maisa for these purposes. So in the case of Bava Kamma, where your animal walked into the street and ate the steak, that's called maisa behemto, there's a chiv hano. Over here, it's not my monkey, it's the man with the yellow hat's monkey. So there's no maisa didei, there's no maisa de behemti. So therefore, Reuven turns around and Shimon says, you can hit me for Hano. There's no Maisa Hano. Gevalik Keteret, we have no idea what it means, but it's Gevalik Keteret, Gevalik Kechiluk. We would have thought this is a classic example of what? True but irrelevant. Who cares what is a Maisa? We have no idea what Taisa is talking about. But we have more problems. Before. Besides not knowing what Taisa is talking about, we have more problems. What's the next major problem? Super stuff, Lama, thank you very much. This is one of the cases of Hano. This is it. This is Hano. This is Taisus speaking. Rashi and Taisus says, Hano. There's no mice here either. Remember? There can't be a mice here. If there would be a mice here, then what would we have been guilty of? We would have been, Ois Kimmelid Ramanid. It wouldn't have been a Kimmelid Ramanid because it would have been like Gurdim Chelbo Shechaveh. It would have been a mice. Remember that bad word that we crossed it out? It was so bad we didn't even want it on the board anymore. What was that? We didn't want Hagbah. I.e., we didn't want a mice. So Taisus just told you, Shtikl Torah and Bava Kamma Kuf Aleph, they're mamash in the corner, Taisus. Taisus bothered, what happened to Hanoah? They're learning Bava Kamma Kuf Aleph, they're looking at it through the eyes of Bava Kamma Daf Yates, and they don't understand what's the difference in Yates and Kuf Aleph. And Taisus says, Maisa, that's the difference. We have no idea why, but take Taisus other word for a minute. No. But what do you do with ksubas daf lamed? This is how Tosfos learned the sugya of Hanoah. They had three sugyas in front of them: the kamba daf kof, the kamba daf kuf alef, ksubas daf lamed. They're trying to make sense out of these sugyas. So Tosfos says, "V'tachav lechavei, right? Af al pisha ein ze ayadei ma'isav." Mikomakom nehenegufay. So it's no. Ksubas daf lamed has something else going for or against it. It's Hanoah saguf, and if it's Hanoah saguf, that's also a chiyuv of Hanoah. Unlike here, where it's, there's no ma'isa and there's no Hanoah saguf. So what Tosfos just told you is mamish sisrei Torah. There are three Gemaras. One Gemara is Bava Kamma daf Chof. One Gemara is Bava Kamma daf Kuf Aleph. One Gemara is Ksubas daf lamed. Which of these three is not like the others? So two of them there's a chiyuv Hanoah, and one of them there's not. What's the factor? So Tosfos says one of two factors. You know we're getting into trouble because we have one of two factors and we understand neither of them. Tosfos says, "If a kamed of chafor, it's ma'isa behemtoy, yichayev. Ksubas daf lamed, don't ask bikashas, and then haguf, yichayev. If a kamed kuf aleph is lacking both of them, that's why you're potter." Wow, that's a Tosfos. We have no idea what Tosfos is talking about. Mamish doy. We have so no idea that Tosfos themselves weren't even sure because they give an inam, they have another approach because the first approach is so difficult to understand. So, Bais Hashem, hopefully, tomorrow, we have to go back to this Tosfos and understand what in the world this Tosfos is talking about. And how is this going to shed some light on what Hanoah is and what Hanoah is not? And then go a little bit further in understanding what Hanoah is and what Hanoah is not. And then how is this ultimately going to all lead back to Ksubas daf lamed? Okay? So.
Okay.